I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic where it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. This is the July 12th, 2021 special virtual meeting, public meeting of the Planning Board of the Township of Clinton, County of Hunterdon, State of New Jersey. Adequate notice of this meeting has been given in accordance with the Open Public Meetings Act, and that an annual notice was published in the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the notice of an agenda for this meeting was posted on the township website, the bulletin boards in front of the municipal building, the front door of the public safety building, and faxed to the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Express Times, Courier News, the Hunterdon Review, and the Star Ledger no later than the Friday prior to the meeting. Madam Secretary, would you call the roll, please?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Ms. Butcher? Is absent. Mr. Glaser?
Here.
Mr. Higgins?
Here.
Ms. Johnson?
Here.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Here.
Mr. Lazarus?
Here.
Mr. Millay?
Here.
Mr. Scheidt?
Is absent.
And Mr. Smay?
Here.
You have a quorum, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. So I think next meeting we're going to go back to some semblance of normalcy. So assuming Mr. Drill is here, we will be able to continue the absent challenge. I'd ask everybody before we start here, we've got a bunch of more administrative stuff. We've got some minutes and some resolutions. A general meeting protocol, kind of mute yourselves if you're not talking. It just helps the overall experience. And I see a lot of names on here. I don't recognize Denise, so to the extent we have public here, let's make sure we recognize that and include them as appropriately, but manage that discussion appropriately as well.
Absolutely.
So, first off, members, we have the meeting minutes from June 7th, 2021. They were
We actually do not have them. They were not completed.
I was going to say, were they in the package or no? Yeah.
No, so they were not.
Let's carry those over till the next time.
Great. Thank you.
We just gained about 3 minutes. Thank you all. We do have, I think, 5 resolutions.
Yes, we do.
So the first one is the resolution adopting the 2021 periodic reexamination report of the master plan and development regulations. It's resolution 2021-OA. And it was provided in the package. Any questions or comments or discussion on that resolution? I don't hear any. It's pretty straightforward. We had a good discussion at the meeting that was there. So if there's no questions or comments or concerns on the eligible members, is there a motion to adopt that resolution?
Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, just one change. I inadvertently left Mr. Higgins off of the eligibility of these resolutions, and he should have been on.
Okay.
So he is eligible.
Okay.
I'll move it to reapprove the resolution.
Is that Mr. Glaser?
It was, Denise. Sorry about that.
That's okay. Thank you.
And I'll second. That was John.
That was Mr. Higgins. Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Semay?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. The next resolution is a resolution adopting the 2021 amendment to the third round housing plan element and fair share plan element of the master plan. It's resolution 2021-OB. Anybody have any questions or comments on that as distributed?
I did have one. I noted that, and perhaps I'm wrong, the date on the bottom of the resolution for the date it was signed or adopted says June 7th. I think that'll have to be updated to today's date, but I could be wrong.
I'll check it. Are you sure that wasn't the date that the date of the vote?
Well, it is the date of the vote.
But he had that as the adoption date as well?
Yeah, it had it. And so this is at the very bottom. The above resolution was adopted on June 7, 2021 by the following vote of board members. So just a note, I think, when you.
Okay.
I think that's for all three, Brian, as a matter of fact.
It is. That's correct. I noted it for all three. Yep.
Okay. I've made a note of that.
Other than that, I had no questions.
With that, for all of these, making sure we have the right date versus voted versus approved. Any other comments or questions on that resolution? If not, is there a motion to approve resolution 2021-OB?
So moved.
Thank
Second,
you.
Lazarus.
That was Mr. Higgins and Mr. Lazarus.
No, it was Ms. Connor, also known as Mr. Millay.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Roll call.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins? I think you might be on mute, Mr. Higgins. I see that he's speaking, but I'm not hearing him.
Can you hear me now?
Yep.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
This is why I love WebEx. Anyway, yes.
Thank you. Ms. Blackhands?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Sime?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Thank you. And number three of these work, there was some good work by all the professionals and all the members in the lead up to this, but this is the resolution adopting the 2021 amendment to the land use plan element of the master plan, resolution 2021-OC. So subject to Mayor Millay's comment about the date and getting that right date on there, whatever that is. Are there any other comments or questions or discussion on this resolution? I'm hearing none. If so, is there a motion to adopt this one?
So moved.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Glaser. Roll call.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Sime?
Yes.
The motion carries.
Again, I would like to thank the professionals, definitely, and the board for their work on these. I know it was a lot of effort and review over the past couple of meetings, so thank you. Next up, T-Mobile Northeast LLC, Block 13.01, Lot 1, 1480 Route 22, Application 2020-09, Resolution 2021-04. This is a resolution memorializing amended preliminary and final site plan approval to allow a change in antennas mounting heights. Again, this was provided previously. For those of you, this was the one that was built a little bit too high.
Ms. Kleinhans had provided a minor comment to insert the words in page three, section B, conclusions of law, in the second sentence. So we're going to make that change. It's just the words in the where note. It's a very minor change. So we're going to make that one change.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans.
And I thought I might be eligible for this one, but it's neither here nor there.
I would have to go back to check. I don't have the ability to
do that. So let's assume I wasn't and just keep moving on because there's enough other votes.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anybody have any other comments or any other concerns, questions, aside from those Ms. Kleinhans edits that Katie mentioned? If not, is there a motion to adopt Resolution 2021-04?
Lazarus, so moved.
Thank you. Is there a second?
I second it.
Who was that, please?
Kleinhans, I second.
Suzanne, thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Roll call.
Mr. You know what? I'm sorry. Bill, you are eligible. I have you eligible on my sheet. It was a correction.
Okay.
So, Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
Motion carried.
Thank you. And now, the last of our resolutions. This is another cellular, new singular wireless PCS LLC, DBA AT&T. Lot 4.03, lot 36.01, 1130 Route 22 West, application 2021-05, resolution 2021-06. This resolution memorializes a waiver of site plan approval to allow a wireless telecommunications facility upgrade consisting of the replacement of antennas, mount, cabling, along with related equipment replacement. This one as well was the draft was submitted earlier this week. Any questions or comments or edits? Looking at you,
it's
Sue.
Just the one change in the eligible members. Mr. Higgins is eligible and Ms. Johnson is not.
Okay. So if there are no edits, questions, comments, concerns, is there a motion to adopt Resolution 2021-06?
I'll make the motion.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Is there a second?
Lazarus, second.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus. Roll call.
Mr. Glaser?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
Yes. Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Sumay?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Okay, so now we are up to our public hearing. It's Clinton LIHTC Urban Renewal LLC, Clinton Woods, 1355 Route 31, Block 82, Lot 4.03. The applicant is seeking amended preliminary and final site plan, major site plan approval, amended preliminary and final subdivision approval, and bulk variances to permit construction of a multifamily affordable housing residential development and community building. So before we jump into this, Denise, can we just kind of go through who's on the call and if they're professionals or they're the public? I see a lot of folks. I don't recognize the names or the.
Mr. Chairman, may I interrupt for one moment? And Madam Secretary, I need to recuse regretfully on this particular application. So I will say good night to all, and I hope it's a fruitful evening for everyone.
Okay, so thank you. Thank
you. Hey, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Have a good night.
Mr. Chairman, if it would be helpful, we can tell you who our professionals are.
That's fine. I'm just trying to, I see a bunch of folks in between your professionals and our professionals. Can we just understand what's going on here?
Okay, so I'm going to go from the top, which is, it seems to be alphabetic. So Angela DeVoe is the acting construction code official for Clinton Township.
Okay.
There is DHAV. Could this person please identify themselves? It appears they're calling, they're in on a, logged in on a phone.
So Bob, Deanna, and Graham are all Pearl people that are listening in.
Okay. That's applicant?
Yes.
So BHAV is with the applicant?
Yes.
And I'm sorry, who is that?
Bob works for Pearl, or the applicant. Deanna Shipman also works for Pearl, as does Graham Welling.
Okay. Well, yeah, we can do it.
We'll do that. Are you intent? I mean, we'll ask Ms. Coffey, I guess.
They're not going to test. Right. Thank you.
Okay. And Greg Domalewski is with Pearl as well, correct?
He's the applicant.
He's an engineer.
Engineer, correct.
Jake Hamm.
I'm the architect for Pearl with WRC.
Can you just wave so I can see where you are? So I can see how to spell your name also.
Yeah, there's a picture of the
Danielle. They can. Okay. And your first name again?
Jacqueline, J-A-Q-U-E-L-E-N.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Then we have... Jason Tronco.
He's the applicant.
The applicant's, what was that?
He's the applicant, landscape architect.
Landscape architect, okay. Jim Mazzucco is the board's landscape architect. Lara, we know. Maren Resnick, I believe Lara said, is with Pearl.
Yeah, Lara is Pearl, correct.
Who is Maren Resnick?
Hi, I'm Maren Resnick. I'm with the Hunterdon in Review.
Okay. T. Rog Ehrman. Are you here for this question? Are you a member of the public?
Troy and Ariana Parrish are both from WRT, the architecture firm working on the project. They won't be testifying. They're listening in on the...
Okay.
Okay.
And the last one I see is Yasmin McBride.
Also with WRT.
Okay.
Who is Graham Welling? I missed that one.
Graham's with Pearl.
He's with Pearl.
Okay. All right. So I suppose at this point we will turn it over to the applicant, if that's the attorney or Lara. Go ahead.
I think that's me. I'm being told that my sound is very bad. Are you having a hard time hearing me?
No.
It's okay, Kate.
Better now.
It's better now, yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Again, everybody can mute if you're not talking. It helps overall. Thank you.
Okay. I have one other thing I can do if it gets to be a problem. So with that, I'll say good evening, everybody. My name is Kate Coffey. I am from the law firm Day Pitney. And as the chairman indicated, I'm here tonight on behalf of Clinton LIHTC Urban Renewal LLC, which is a successor in interest to Pearl Developers, LLC, which is the designated developer of the property. We are here tonight for amended preliminary and final site plan and subdivision approval, as well as we are seeking one variance related to the setback for the tot lot area, as well as a waiver from tree removal requirements. The property that we're speaking of is Block 82, Lot 4.03, which is located on Route 31 South. The township is the owner of the property. The property is subject to the AH5 Affordable Housing District zoning. We are proposing to subdivide the subject property to create two lots. The first lot is to consist of 5.517 acres, which is to contain the proposed affordable housing development. The remainder lot is to consist of 34.78 acres, and that's to be reserved as open space. In addition to those two lots, we are proposing to dedicate 0.483 acres for a road that will provide access to both the open space area as well as the affordable housing development. On the 5.517 acre parcel, the applicant is proposing a multifamily residential housing development, which consists of 7 buildings as well as parking. There's a total of 84 low and moderate income housing units proposed. The number of buildings and the number of affordable housing units have not changed from when we were previously before the board for preliminary site plan and subdivision approval. The common amenity space that's being proposed is a community building, a play area including a tot lot, a community garden, and lawn areas. When we were last before you in connection with this application, we required relief, which has now been eliminated from the application. For the sake of the record, I will just quickly touch on the relief that we no longer require as part of the application. We had required relief from Ordinance Section 165-148.4G, as in good, to permit setbacks from other property lines where a setback requirement of 50 feet was imposed. Those setback variances, which had previously been granted and are now no longer needed, included a setback variance for Building A, where 15.7 feet had been proposed from a side lot line and 16.3 feet had been proposed from a front lot line. Building B, as in boy, where 15.7 feet was required from a side lot line. Building C, where 14 feet was required from a side lot line and 14.8 feet was required from a rear lot line. Building D, where 14.8 feet was required from a rear lot line. Building F, where 16.6 feet was required from a front lot line. And building G, where 15.1 feet was proposed from a front lot line. In addition, we also eliminated the need for relief from Section 165-98.E, which is to permit certain structures to be within setbacks. These included retaining walls, as well as a stormwater basin, and that relief has been eliminated as well. We did receive 2 points of relief previously that remain necessary in connection with the application. These points of relief are from Ordinance Section 165-98.E, which is to permit a sign with an area of approximately 50 square feet, including the base, with a setback of 20 feet. The ordinance permits a sign area of 24 square feet. The proposed square footage of the sign has not changed from what was previously approved at preliminary, and you'll hear more testimony that we have added language related to the town itself, which had been a condition of that variance when it was granted at preliminary, and we have honored that requirement. In addition to that relief, we also are requesting a de minimis exception from the residential site improvement standards with regard to the number of parking spaces being proposed. 153 spaces are proposed, and 168 spaces are required under the residential site improvement standards. That exception had been approved at preliminary, and we continue to need that relief this evening with the same number of parking spaces. And just to not to get too in the weeds, at the preliminary site plan application, the applicant had originally proposed 143 parking spaces that had agreed to increase that number to 153 parking spaces, which is now proposed this evening. In addition to that, other relief that the applicant is seeking is relief from Ordinance Section 165-97.A, and that's to permit a portion of the tot lot surface area to be located 21.6 feet from the rear property line, where a setback of 30 feet is required for accessory structures. We'll have more testimony about that. And then we're also seeking a waiver from the technical caliber calculation requirements of the tree removal ordinance. With me this evening, and I know we've already had a preview of who's who, but we have Greg Domaluski of Mid-Atlantic Engineering Partners, who's the project engineer. He is going to be providing an overview of what has changed between our preliminary application and the current application pending before you. Jason Tronco of Melillo & Bauer, he's the landscape architect, who's going to be discussing the proposed landscaping and lighting. Jacqueline Camp of WRT, who's the project architect, she's going to be discussing the architectural features of the project and explaining how they're consistent with what was approved as part of the preliminary application. Mr. Chairman, if it's acceptable to you, at this time I'd like to ask Mr. Domaluski to join us and be sworn in, please.
Okay. If possible, I'm going to swear in. I typically, or John and I typically, swear in all of the witnesses at the same time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have Mr. Domaluski, Ms. Camp, and Mr. Trenko raise their right hands. And I think I see one. Hold on. I see two. I just need Ms. Camp to turn on her video. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Okay. Do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. I don't know if the other two are on. I think the other two are on mute, but if you guys could, if Ms. Camp and Mr. Domaluski could just.
I do.
Okay. Thank you. And then I thank you very much. And then just to confirm, I think from the board's end, we have Mr. Behrens, Mr. Mazzucco, and Ms. DeVoe. Is that correct in terms of the board's?
I do not believe Ms. DeVoe is going to be testifying.
She's not. Okay, fine.
Do we have Larry, our engineer?
I didn't see Larry.
Right.
Oh, you're on, Larry. I'm sorry. Okay, Larry, I didn't see you. I apologize. Okay, my bad, Larry. Okay.
And then also
you don't have your name. It's very hard. So, okay. Okay, so Mr. Plevier, Mr. Behrens, yes. Mr. Mazzucco, do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay, so we should be set at least for some portion of time. I think we're good for now. On the board's end, we had just for the public's edification, that was the board's planning expert, the board's engineer, and the board's landscape architectural expert, who were just sworn. Okay, Kate, I'm going to turn it back over to you. Oh, go ahead, Mr. Smay.
Yeah, sorry. So did the applicant's professionals provide testimony at the preliminary, or should we present them for qualification?
I believe Mr. Domaluski and Ms. Camp testified at the preliminary. Hopefully, correct me if I'm mistaken.
No, I think Tom and Jackie did preliminary. Greg did not do preliminary.
In my mind, if they've already been before this board, they're qualified.
Right.
We should probably just do the standard practice here if they haven't been.
I have not been, so I can go over my credentials now if you'd like.
Yes, please.
Okay. So my name is Gregory Domaluski. I'm employed by Mid-Atlantic Engineering. Address is 5 Commerce Way, Hamilton, New Jersey, 08691. I'm a licensed professional engineer in the state of New Jersey with an active license. And I've testified before dozens of boards in the past. I could certainly give you some of those credentials and some of those boards I've testified before if you'd like, but it's up to you guys.
Mr. Domaluski, may I ask you to please spell your first and last name? Our board stenographer is not in attendance this evening, and if the transcript is required, she will be doing it from the audio.
Sure. My name is Gregory, Gregory. My last name is Domaluski, Domaluski.
I don't want to interrupt. I am a court reporter. I'm on, I don't know if anyone sees me, but I am a stenographer here for Dave Pitney.
Okay.
Thank you.
So does anybody have any questions or comments about Mr. Domaluski's credentials? If not, I'm okay. Is the board okay that he is qualified as an expert in his area? Okay.
Thank you. Okay, Mr. Domaluski, can you please remind the board of the property that we are speaking of and walk them through what's being changed from what they last approved?
Sure, absolutely. So you're looking at right now the offsite utility main extension plan, which is sheet 7 of the site plan set. And we have it marked as exhibit A1. And the development is located on block 82, lot 4.03, containing 40.769 acres with frontage on Route 31 South. As Ms. Pitney had said, the site is located in the AH5 Affordable Housing District, and it's going to be proposed use is multifamily residential, which is a permitted use within the zone. The site's currently vacant with an actively cultivated agricultural field there. As you can see from the aerial picture, that light brown is all farm field behind the underneath that proposed development. The site in general, the site topography generally grazed from east to west towards the Crammers Brook. And the site is located along Route 31 South with North Hutterdon Regional High School to the north. And then to the south and the east beyond our site, we have a couple of narrow tree lines. And beyond those tree lines, to the east is a township-owned property across Route 31. And to the south, there's a commercial property and farmland beyond the tree line there. To the west is undeveloped woods immediately adjacent to the property. Beyond those woods, there's a proposed development there, or an existing development. And that's about 1,500 feet from our development to that nearest houses along Windy Hill Road. There's no wetlands or water bodies within the proposed development area. And the Crammers Brook is about 378 feet from our development area in the woods. The township owns the land surrounding the development area. And as part of it, Lot 4 and Lot 4.03 surrounding our site are restricted because it's purchased with the Green Acres funds. The proposed project, and Lara, if you could zoom in a little bit on our development, it might be able to see in on that sheet. Might be able to see a little bit. Nope, go back up. Yeah. We'll hold there. There you go. So as you see there, as part of the project, we're going to disturb 0.4 acres of forest area within our proposed development area on our lot. And 0.12 acres falls within the New Jersey Highlands Council forest area. And then 0.15 acres of that is on the southwest corner of the property. 0.1 acres of that is on the northeast northwest corner of the property. And 0.15 acres is along the near building A along the tree line that's along the front of the property there. In addition to the to our disturbance area on our property site, there is 0.4 acres of tree line that's going to be disturbed within the Runkle Drive right-of-way for the proposed roadway going into the site. And then as a result of that tree removal for our proposed development, we are removing 28 trees within our property there. And the development, as part of the development, we are going to be required to do off-site utility extensions in order to extend water and sewer to our site. There's going to be a water tie-in along Allerton Road and a water tie-in along Regional Road with an 8-inch water main installed along the Route 31 right-of-way, and that's approximately 7,900 linear feet of main. And then there's going to be a sewer tie-in at the North Hutterdon High School pump station. And there's going to be a 3-inch force main that goes approximately 4,000 feet from our site to the pump station tie-in to the north of our site. And there are no trees proposed to be removed as part of the off-site utility extensions. Okay, can we move to the major subdivision plan next? Next page. So as, I'm sorry, this is the major subdivision plan that was submitted as part of our site plan application. And so as part of the site plan, as part of the subdivision, the applicant is proposing two conforming lots in the same number as lots as the 2018 approval, plus a dedication to the township, which is new for this application. The two lots that are created are lot 4.04, which consists of 5.517 acres, and that lot is to contain our development area. It was previously 6 acres as part of the old application. We adjusted the location of the site to respect the adjacent owners and minimize the impact and the respect buffers. We adjusted the location from the original concept plan results, and it results in less variance relief from the ordinance, and it's as part of it was an effort to minimize the relief, the request required the relief. The subdivision creates a flag lot with development to the rear, and it's set back from Route 31 along that proposed right-of-way. Lot 4.03 is the lot that we're carving all the land out of, and that lot will contain 34.769 acres. And a portion of that will be turned into parkland in the future. The dedication for the roadway and the access to the site is 0.483 acres, and it extends approximately 280 feet from the Route 31 right-of-way to our project development lot. And the dedication of the roadway was requested by the township to accommodate the public road leading into the development and to allow access to the proposed park on lot 4.03. All right, can we move to the rendering next? So this is
Mr. Jamulski, just before you get going, just for the record, this is Exhibit A2.
Correct.
And A1 was which one?
A1 was the overhead view that you first saw right here.
That was the offsite utility main extension plan, sheet 7 of the site plan set, which was has a colorized.
Okay, right. So A2 is sheet which one is sheet number which one?
It's the overall rendered landscape plan.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Can I ask a quick question? This part of the drive that the township is being dedicated, who's responsible for maintenance? Who's responsible for those trees being put in? Is this a gift that keeps giving?
I'm sorry, I missed the last part of the question.
Is this a gift that keeps giving to the township? I mean, I didn't know this was in the previous version. And, when I see the median there, right, is that in this dedicated portion?
Yes.
So who's responsible for that maintenance and all that work?
So, I'm not sure that it's been hammered out between the parties via an agreement yet, but the installation is that, or the expectation is that the trees will be installed by the applicant, all of the trees that are shown on the plan. But it is providing access to the township park. So my understanding is that after the dedication, those will be the municipality's responsibility.
And where's the sign then?
We'll get into that if you don't mind.
I'm fine as long as it's not on our dedicated property. If it is, then we're going to discuss that part of the things.
Okay, we'll discuss that. We'll go over in detail where that sign is located.
Okay.
Okay. So the proposed access drive is designed as a boulevard from Route 31 to the proposed park entrance, and it's about 245 feet as a boulevard from Route 31, the edge of Route 31 pavement, to that park entry drive. There's two 20-foot traveled ways and a 10-foot center island, and it tapers to a 24-foot access drive leading into the proposed development after that park entry. The entrance drive contains the proposed lighting and landscaping. And there's also the entrance, as is shown, has been approved by the NJDOT. There's a bus stop located on the south side of the entry drive along Route 31. And there's a walkway leading from the bus stop to the proposed development with a crosswalk designed for a future park connection. There's also a future park access, which is located on the north side of the proposed access drive at the end of that boulevard as well. The site entry sign is located within the center island, 20 feet from the NJDOT right-of-way. And although it's still technically in a right-of-way once that roadway would be dedicated. And we had no change to the previous variance, which was requested, and it will contain the 50 square feet of a sign, as well as the sign is less than 50 square feet when not including the decorative base. And it's going to be illuminated with halo lighting, and Jason will talk further about that lighting for that sign. And we felt like the location, being set back as well as the size was appropriate based upon the speed of the road of Route 31, which is 55 miles per hour.
I'm sorry, one second, Mr. Jones. Just in anticipation of perhaps a question from the chairman, the applicant will be maintaining the sign, correct?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can we move on to the next rendering, which is a zoomed up rendering of just the site plan?
Is this A3?
So, this is A3, yes. And it's the rendered landscape enlargement, rendered landscape plan enlargement. So the applicant is proposing 7 multifamily residential buildings with parking and modifications to the building layout, but proposed the same number of buildings. There's no longer variance relief required for setbacks of those buildings. And building A setback is approximately 452.1 feet from Route 31 right-of-way, and building G is set back 514.9 feet from the Route 31 right-of-way. The heights of the buildings remain the same, 3 stories and 40 feet maximum, and the reconfiguration, as you see there currently, was done to accommodate the additional 10 parking spaces from the previous approval, which was required as part of the ordinance, as well as to accommodate the extensive geotech testing, which was completed for the site. That included microgravity testing to locate potential sinkholes and voids, as well as numerous soil borings to establish the depth to bedrock. And based on the old design, there were numerous areas where it would have had to cut into bedrock in order to construct, as well as there were potential voids or areas that were of concern from the microgravity testing, which are located in the area of buildings. So we've adjusted around those areas so that those buildings adjust out of those areas of concern. There's still a total of 84 affordable units. The breakdown of units is consistent with Section 42 of the Internal Revenue Code. We have 16 one-bedroom units, 47 two-bedroom units, and 21 three-bedroom units. There's accessory structures throughout the site, which include the community building, the garden shed, the maintenance shed, and the tot lot. The community building with lawn and tot lot is located west of building D and north of building C. The building height is going to be 25 feet in height, and the community building conforms with the required setbacks and is also relocated from the area of building D due to the microgravity results. We sort of flip-flop buildings there as well. And as a result, the tot lot is located where it needs a variance for accessory structure minimum setback, and that's due to the surrounding surface being 21.6 feet from the property line, although it's technicality because the play equipment is actually 36 feet from the property line. The garden shed.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jemelowski. Can you just tell everybody what the surface area of the play area is, so people know what kind of material we're talking about, please?
Yep, absolutely. The surface area around the tot lot equipment is going to be mulch.
Thank you.
Yep. And the other accessory structures on the lot include the garden shed and the maintenance shed. The maintenance shed is going to be 8 feet by 12 feet, and the garden shed is going to be 8 feet by 10 feet. Both are located in the north end of the development between buildings E and F, and both comply with the required setbacks as well as height. There's also other passive recreational areas with benches and walking paths throughout the site. The site is designed to have a 24-foot drive aisle throughout the development, with Belgian block curbs proposed and 6 feet concrete walkways. We're abutting parking heading on into the walkways, and 4 feet concrete walkways where that does not occur, such as on the entry drive coming into the site. We have 153 proposed parking spaces, which includes 7 handicap spaces, and that was the that total number includes the 10 parking spaces which were added and agreed upon at the time of the 2018 approval. Otherwise, there's no change, and RSIS exception was previously granted based upon providing those 153 parking spaces. The fencing is proposed around the site where required. We're going to have a 3-rail fence with mesh around the community garden and atop the retaining wall that's around the basin. The community garden fence is going to be to keep animals out, and then the fence atop the stormwater basin is going to be in order to keep people from falling in as fall protection. There's also going to be a 48-inch tall chain link fence atop the retaining wall along the perimeter of the property as required on the retaining walls, as required for fall protection for any retaining wall over 30 inches in height. And then we're going to have a 6-foot tall privacy fence around the pump station, which is located just north of building D, to screen the equipment in there. The trash is to be handled through 2 trash enclosures. The first enclosure is located between buildings B and C on the southwest portion of the property. And the second enclosure is located in the northwest portion of the development between buildings E and F. Trash is going to be handled by a private hauler for residential, and the enclosures to have mason rear and sidewalls with gates to access the dumpsters. There will be bollards within those enclosures to protect the masonry walls from the dumpsters. And as you can see in this development, the stormwater basin was relocated with this plan to avoid exposing excessive bedrock during construction. The stormwater basin used to run east to west along the north end of that property under where buildings E and F are currently located.
Mr. Domalewski's audio functioning?
I think he's having an issue. Let's give him a minute.
Yeah, he's currently buffering.
Having some big storms, I don't know, out by us. I wonder if he's getting any of those. Let me see if I can call.
Yeah, I can actually. It just got connection again, I think. Hello. All right, sorry everybody about that. What was the last thing you guys heard me talk about?
The shifting of the stormwater basin.
Yeah.
I'll carry on. I thought that's where I lost you, and I sort of slowed down a little bit, and then I was talking to myself. So my apologies about that. So the stormwater basin was relocated with this plan to avoid exposing bedrock during construction. The previous design had it running east to west at the north end of the property, and that would have required the excavation and exposure of a lot of bedrock in that area, which could have potentially had stormwater affecting that and causing erosion issues. The proposed extended detention basin where it's located does not require the excavation of any bedrock in that area based upon the testing that we did. And that proposed basin is an extended detention basin with a liner to prevent infiltration into the carbonate rock, and it's going to have 60% TSS removal. There's also a manufacturer treatment device that's going to work in concert with the stormwater basin, and it's a Contact CS24 with 50% TSS removal, and the two combined will meet the 80% TSS removal, which is required. The combination will help mitigate pollution to the underlying aquifer, and it will not, the recharge requirements will not be met due to the presence of the carbonate rocks beneath the site. Variance relief is no longer required for the location in the basin because of the ordinance change, and it's designed to meet the required reductions of the 50, 75, and 80% of the 2, 10, and 100-year storm events. The site will ultimately be served by public sewer and public water, and the water will be served, the town of Clinton has agreed to extend its service to include the property, and the town is in the process of reviewing that water design, and water allocation is currently reserved for the project. There is 1,620 linear feet of 8-inch main contained within the site, the proposed drive in the site, and those 8-inch mains are going to serve as the buildings and the two fire hydrants located within the subject property. The buildings are supplied through 4-inch domestic service and 4-inch fire service for sprinklers. And flow tests were performed on the tie-in mains in Allerton Road and Regional Road. Regional Road had a static pressure of 66 PSI, and Allerton Road had a static pressure of 130 PSI. And when we loop those mains together between the two, the MEP has told us that we'll have great pressure there to feed those buildings for fire, for flows. The demand was calculated as 15,815 gallons per day per NJAC 5:21-5.1, and is pending approval by the town of Clinton as well as the NJDEP. The water reservation was approved in excess of that demand, which was 16,073 gallons per day of water allocation. For sanitary sewer, the sanitary sewer design has been reviewed and approved by the Clinton Township Sewers Authority, as well as the town of Clinton as the treatment entity. The application is currently pending with the NJDEP for TWA approval. We have a gravity collection internal to the site for the proposed development, where it's centrally collected into a pump station located to the north of Building D. There's a force main that then routes flow east through Runkel Drive and ultimately to the North Hutterin High School along Regional Road. The pump station that we have proposed north of Building D includes a 6-foot-high fence, which is going to be used to screen the equipment. And it's not an enclosed structure. It's simply fence around that equipment with a light in there for maintenance purposes. The sanitary demand is calculated as 19,575 gallons per day, and that's per NJAC criteria. And it's approved by the Clinton Township Sewerage Authority. The sewer allocation was approved for 20,000 gallons per day, which is slightly more than the calculated demand. As part of the proposed development, we're going to have a 51 LED streetlights within the proposed development and the public right-of-way that we're creating. And we have one utility light that's located within the pump station. All of the lights on the site and the entry drive will all be dark sky compliant lights with full cutoff. And the lighting will be 3000 K color temperature maximum. Claire, can we go to the next sheet, which is the grading plan? So this is the sheet 5 of 19 of the site plan set that was submitted to the town, and it's the grading plan. And as you can see on the grading plan, as a result of the proposed development, there's substantial grade change across the property, resulting in about 28 feet of grade change from the south end to the north end of the property. And retaining walls are going to be required along the east, south, and west property lines. All the walls have safety fencing atop to prevent falling. And due to the grade drop in the rear of the property, the applicant does not expect people to wander to the rear of the site through the woods. Can we go to the next sheet, Lara, which is the turning exhibit? So this is the turning exhibit that was submitted as part of the site plan application. And this turning out turning exhibit shows a fire truck entering the site as well as navigating the site and getting to, you know, around the entire site and coming back out. And it's anticipated that box trucks are going to be the largest permitted moving trucks to be in the development. This plan also shows that the fire trucks can navigate the site and will be the largest vehicle on the site. And a bus can also circulate that site as well. Based upon those changes to the site, we have, we're going to need two new relief items requested. And we're requesting variance relief from Ordinance Section 165-97A, and that's to permit a tot lot located 21.6 feet from the rear property line, where a setback of 30 feet is required for accessory structures. And based upon the testimony I provided, we will require that variance, and it's because the play structure is the surface of the tot lot is 21.6 feet from the property line, and that's for the mulch cover. That's not for the entire play equipment. That's just the ground cover in that area is 21.6 feet from the property line, where 30 feet is required versus the tot lot equipment, the actual playground equipment, which is approximately 36 feet. It's beyond the 30-foot setback requirement.
Greg, let me just touch on that one before you move on. So just to elaborate a little bit, we thought it was a little bit iffy as to whether a variance was required at all, since the only encroachment is being done by mulch and not really a structure. But we did request the variance out of an abundance of caution to make sure that we had covered all of our bases. I'm just going to touch for a second on the variance criteria that the variance would be evaluated under if it's determined that the mulch merits a variance. So we would view this as a C2 variance, and with regard to the positive criteria supporting that variance, the Municipal Land Use Law Section A, one of its goals is to support and foster the development of an affordable housing project. And of course, this development is part of the township's affordable housing plan and subject to its settlement agreement, which is promoting the general welfare as well as creating an opportunity for affordable housing. And even specifically, I would say the play area is an important component of that development to provide a quality experience for its residents. And then the Municipal Land Use Law Section G, as in good, also has as a goal providing sufficient space and appropriate locations for a variety of, and I'm excerpting here, residential and recreational uses in open space, both public and private, to meet the needs of all New Jersey citizens. And again, of course, the variance in this case is to create that soft surface area surrounding the tot lot. And although the tot lot structure is conforming with the setback with a little bit of extra room, the mulch again is past that 30-foot point. With regard to the negative criteria, there's two key things to look at. One is whether there's a substantial impact to neighboring properties. In this case, the overall site is quite large, and specifically the tot lot and the tot lot surface is located to the rear of the site, adjacent to the protected open space that's going to be owned by, that is owned by the township. It's screened from the road by 400 plus feet of buffer and then the buildings before you would even see the playground. And the neighbor to the rear is, of course, the township and its open space. So there really is no impact to any neighbors as a result of the encroachment. And similarly, we also have to look at the impact on the zoning ordinance or the master plan. Here, the ordinance and the master plan both are specifically providing for this affordable housing development, as well as accessory structures like the tot lot to be constructed. So we see the proposed structure of the tot, of the play structure, as well as the soft surface for children to land on, which is the encroachment, as being a benefit to the affordable housing development and consistent with the type of accessory structures and particularly recreational structures that support such developments. So I just wanted to frame that for you before we go on. All right, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Domalewski, continue.
No worries. And then the other relief we're requesting is for relief from exception from ordinance section 165-77D to permit a deviation from the tree replacement requirements. And that's where we are proposing 151 total new trees and removing 28 trees. And Jason Tronkel will give further testimony about the types of those trees to be planted.
And I'll just touch on that one as well, if you don't mind me interjecting again, Mr. Domalewski. So this is a design waiver under the ordinance, and as Mr. Domalewski just indicated, we are replacing the trees to be removed with almost five times as many trees, new trees to be planted on the property. However, we are seeking a waiver from the caliber calculation requirements of the tree ordinance. All right.
Sorry, Ms. Covey, could you please specify exactly what that requirement is in terms of the caliper or number of trees, just so the board is aware?
I will, Mr. Behrens. How does that sound? I'll try to pull it up while we keep moving here. I'd be happy to. I believe the requirement is that for each tree removed, a 2-to-1 replacement of the tree caliper is required. And we're not quite at that 2-to-1 caliper requirement, although we certainly are planting many more trees, five times as many trees as are being removed. All right, Mr. Domalewski, did I cut you off? Did you have anything else you wanted to cover before we get into the review memoranda?
Nope, we can jump into the review.
All right, Mr. Chairman, if that's acceptable to you, we'll turn to the memoranda that we've received from your professionals.
Sure.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Domalewski, I think it probably makes sense for us to start with the memoranda that we received from the board's engineer.
Okay.
Give me a moment. Yep. I'm going to pull up my copy. Oh, sure. Hold on. Don't get going yet. Just okay. for the record, I'm referring to a memoranda that is dated July 6th, 2021, received from Mott McDonald. And I think there's what we'll say on the record, first of all, is with the exception of comment C1C3, the applicant is able to represent that it will comply with all of the requirements of this memorandum. Is that correct, Mr. Domalewski?
That's correct.
Okay. And then now let's talk about C1.
Kate, can you just repeat? It's because I have it. Let me just. And I just want to pull, can you just give me 2 seconds to pull it up so I can just follow along with you? Okay.
Sure, no problem.
Tell me which one you're not complying with. Because there's, it's B, the policy.
It's C as in,
C.
C as in coffee.
Yep.
One. C as in coffee again. Three.
C1, C3.
Correct.
Everything else you're good with.
Everything else we're good with. And the reason why we wanted to touch on C1, C3 is yep. It requests that the applicant will describe how access is going to be provided to the detention basin. So we wanted to explain that. So it's not really that we're not complying, but we wanted to provide a little information.
Okay.
So Mr. Right. Domluski, can you explain what we're doing there?
Absolutely. So north of building E on the north end of the project, there's a depression in front of the dumpster enclosure pad, and there actually is access provided to that basin on the south side of the community garden there between building E and the community garden, where somebody could enter with maintenance vehicles, bobcat, whatever, mowing equipment, and get into the basin through that way. So that's the intended route for access to the basin.
Thank you, Mr. Domluski.
Yep.
Unless there are other questions with regard to that memorandum, I'd suggest that we turn next to the board planner's memorandum. Not hearing me. And just again, for the record, this is a memorandum that was received from Burgess Associates, and it's dated July 8th, 2021. And we have a few different folks who are going to be touching on different components of the memorandum. So there were a few engineering issues, Mr. Domluski, that we wanted you to touch on. And the first one is comment number 4. And that is with regard to whether electronic vehicle station charging stations will be provided.
Correct. And we were not proposed to include any electric vehicle charging at this time.
Okay. And the other sort of half of that comment was, is a bus service going to be provided? Public bus service, that is.
Well, there's the proposed bus stop at the south end of our entrance drive, as long as the board approves it. Then it will be provided a bus stop there.
And I believe it has been approved by the county already, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah. And then the next comment we wanted to ask you to touch on is comment number 13. And this is asking about the maintenance shed and specifically who's going to be using it and why.
Sure. The maintenance shed is going to be exactly what it sounds like. It's going to be used for maintenance purposes to include maintenance tools, and it's going to be only accessed by maintenance personnel for the site.
Thank you. And then comment 14, it's labeled as a question about the pump house, but in point of fact, there is not a pump house, but rather a pump station that's being proposed, correct?
Correct. And it's the pump station is going to be proposed there with a 6-foot-high fence just to screen the equipment within that pump station area. And it's not a single building. No structure there.
Thank you. I think those were all of the planning comments we were going to have you touch on, Mr. Domluski. As I said, other folks will be touching on other components of the Burgess memorandum when we get to their testimony.
Kate, could I just run through just a few generic comments real quick?
Sure.
So, and this is for Katie's benefit in drafting the resolution primarily. Just I wanted to ensure that there was consistency between all of the drawings, architectural, engineering, landscape architecture. I didn't notice too many differences, but I think there was one in that the trash enclosure at the southerly end of the site was in some drawings and not in others. I could be wrong. But again, just to make sure there's consistency between all drawings, you know, once it's all is said and done. I don't think we need to get into the Highlands requirements. It's my understanding that you've generally complied with all of them at this point, but that as a condition of approval that you would adhere to whatever requirements there might be outstanding. Bear with me while I go down my short list here. And that's it for now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, I think the next memorandum that we were going to touch on with Mr. Domluski is the landscape report. Mm-hmm. And as you might expect, our landscape architect will be covering quite a bit of this, but there were a few engineering items that we wanted to touch on with you, Mr. Domluski.
Sure.
So, let me just give the date.
I'm getting ahead of myself. So this memorandum is dated July 6th, 2021, and it's received from Bosenberg Landscape Architecture. Mr. Domlewski, I think the first point for you was question B1, which is asking about the amount of forest area to be disturbed. I know you already testified as to that, but can you just remind us one more time, please?
Absolutely. Yep. We are disturbing 0.4 acres of forest area within our proposed development lot, and 0.12 acres of that is within the Highlands forested area.
Thank you. And we'll come back to B2 when we have our landscape architect with us. But then question C1 is, again, regarding forest disturbance. Mm-hmm.
Again, I'll say the same thing. We are disturbing 0.4 acres of forest area with 0.12 acres of it in the Highlands forested area. And that's on our proposed development lot there.
Thank you. Next, moving to D as in dog, 3. And this is asking about whether any offsite tree removals are required for offsite extensions of water and sewer. I think you heard that they are not required. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. D4, A, B, C, and D are all asking about the proposed lighting. All of the lighting proposed is dark sky compliant, correct?
Correct.
And we are complying with all, we will comply with all of the comments in that section, correct?
So item B notes about a certain light fixture. That light fixture mm-hmm. actually was not used in our design, so we'll correct that. There's a discrepancy between sheets 11 and 12, and we'll correct them as well. And then D4D, we will comply with, which is the
Thank maximum
3,000 K color temperature.
When you say, just to clarify, when you say correct, meaning that you're going to you will comply by correcting it, right? Or you're
we're
not going to
comply. No, we're going to comply with correcting it. Basically, those just noted certain fixtures. The item B, that fixture is not a full cutoff fixture, but it's not used in our lighting design. So we'll comply and remove it.
And just to put a finer point on it, we will be providing a full cutoff fixture, correct?
Correct. All of our lights will be full cutoff fixtures.
And can I just ask, I know you didn't, I don't, or maybe I missed it. You didn't do C2 yet, right, on the EIS? Is that a?
We did not do C2 yet.
Okay, fine. I know you have other people addressing things. I just wanted to make sure I didn't miss it.
Mm-hmm. Although, I mean, well, yes, we've already, I think we intend to cover it elsewhere, okay. But thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Next, I think with you, we're headed to D5A. Which is making sure that our specifications for seating are consistent, and we will comply with that as well, correct?
Correct.
Okay, then I'm going to D6A, which is asking about the fencing around the trash enclosure.
Yep, I covered that in testimony, that there's going to be The trash enclosure is going to have a masonry surround with the gates to access those dumpsters.
Thank you.
The question was not that it was enclosed, it was the material used. Just the label said that it would match existing fencing, and the only fencing on the engineering plans was a chain link fence. So just
It will not be chain link fencing.
Okay.
And Mr. Domlewski, I think the intent is to use a 3-rail fence with mesh. Or an equivalent, correct?
Not for the dumpster enclosure.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm mistaken.
Yep. So we will not be using chain link fence on the dumpster enclosure. I'll clarify that.
Thank you. And then, D6B, which is regarding the steps of the community building and whether handrails are required.
Correct. If we are required to construct the steps and handrails are required, we will include them and they'll be black in color.
Thank you. D7, this is regarding the pump station, illustrating the height and type of fencing and the height of the pump station equipment.
Yep, so the height of the fence is gonna be 6 feet and the proposed equipment will be less than 6 feet, with the exception of the maintenance light that'll be there, which will be extend beyond the 6 foot height.
Okay. And what type of fence will be used?
Vinyl fence, a solid fence, vinyl fence, most likely.
Okay. Then we are going to E as in Edward 5. And this is asking about the transformer in front of building B, as in Boyd.
Yep. We're going to adjust the transformer locations to comply with the utility requirements to make sure they have all the required setbacks and clearances.
Thank you. And then next time we're going down to E as in Edward 22.
Okay.
Then I got to turn my page. And this is asking for building elevations and materials with regard to the garden and maintenance sheds. And those will be provided as part of the compliance review, correct?
Correct. They're going to be prefab. They're not yet selected, but they'll both be similar in type. And the dimensions, like I said before in testimony, the garden shed will be 8 feet by 10 feet, and the maintenance shed will be 8 feet by 12 feet.
Thank you. Okay. Next, we were going to go to the fire marshal's review.
Mm-hmm.
Hold on. Okay. So this memorandum is dated July 5th, 2021, and it was received from the Township of Clinton Bureau of Fire Safety. So taking it from sort of the top here, numbers 1 and 2 are inquiring about the locations of FDCs.
Correct. And we'll meet with the fire marshal and finalize those locations prior to submitting plans for compliance.
Thank you. Comment number 3 is asking whether there will be any front-facing gas or electric service.
There will not be any front-facing gas or electric service. Everything's going to be on the side of the buildings.
Question or comment number 4 is requesting a management emergency evacuation plan, and the applicant will comply with that requirement, correct?
Correct.
Number 5 is requesting details related to the fire stop, and those will be provided as part of resolution compliance, correct?
Correct.
The applicant will comply with number 6, correct?
That's correct.
And then number 7 is asking about the yard hydrant use and the intent of the pump house. Can you talk about that, please?
Yeah, so the yard hydrant within the pump station is going to be used, it really should be labeled as a hose bib, because that's exactly what it is. It's for a garden hose to be hooked up and to wash down the area or provide water for any maintenance that's required for a part of the pump station general maintenance that may have to go on there.
Thank you. I think the next stop for us is going to be the code enforcement memorandum.
Mm-hmm.
This memorandum is dated July 6th, 2021.
Oh, sorry to interrupt. Just one clarification. No worries. One clarification back on the fire is the fire stop goes in with the building permit submission because you need the contractor for that submission. So it would go in as part of our building permit application submission.
Thank you. Thank you for keeping me straight. Okay. Now I'm going to go to the code enforcement memorandum, which is dated July 6th, 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And the first question is with regard to the size of the water main that's going to be feeding into the hydrants. Can you talk about that, please?
Yeah, so I reviewed NFPA 24, and that stipulates that 8-inch water mains must supply fire hydrants, which it does on our site. I think the question to that comment arose from the 4-inch fire service going into the building, and those don't feed fire hydrants, but they feed the fire sprinklers from the building. So in from my perspective, I believe we do comply with the NFPA 24.
Thank you. The second question is with regard to whether there's adequate water pressure for the fire safety equipment as well as domestic water consumption.
Correct. And as I testified to you before, we did flow tests on both mains that we're tying into, and we feel there's going to be adequate pressure for the proposed development.
Thank you. Number three is with regard to the geotechnical study on the property. And specifically, it's suggesting that there be an additional report after soil remediation and site work is completed. Can you talk a little bit about the studies that have been done to date? And where
So there was extensive geotech studies that were done on the site. Like I said in my testimony, to identify with the microgravity testing, as well as the additional borings, to really get a great feel for what's going on out there soil-wise. We've updated those reports and submitted them to the town, and they outline a geotech plan that's above and beyond the IBC requirements. M2 has noted that they're satisfied with that geotech report, and there is no soil remediation to take place as part of the site. Like it is all clean soil on the site, so it's going to be just a matter of stripping the topsoil and starting construction with no remediation required.
And Mr. Domluski, just in case anybody doesn't know, M2 is the board's geotechnical expert, correct?
Correct. And we received a review letter from them.
Yep, we'll get there. Don't worry.
Yep.
Okay. Number five is asking about the gallons per day of domestic water usage, as well as the water fixture supply units.
Correct. So the proposed flow for the development is 15,815 gallons per day calculated. We have a water reservation for 16,073 gallons per day. And then as far as the water supply fixture units, the WSFUs, the MEP engineer will have to calculate those and confirm that the Forest Domestic Service to each building is adequate to supply those fixtures.
Okay. Number six is asking whether a hot box will be required on site.
There's no hot box required as part of the water approval, but each building will have backflow prevention in the water closet on each building.
Thank you. And then number seven is asking that we make sure that we comply with the accessibility requirements regarding accessible routes from the 2018 International Building Code, Chapter 11, as well as the ANSI 117.1, and the applicant will comply with those requirements, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. All right.
Hey, I don't want to interrupt you, but just one thing.
No, it's all right.
Swear in Ms. Schwager since she was testifying. Okay. Laura, can you raise your right hand, please? Do you swear that the testimony you gave and the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sorry about that.
No problem. Thank you.
All right. Next, we're headed to the lighting report. Mm-hmm. Give me a second. Okay. This is a memorandum received from Mott McDonald, which is dated July 6th, 2021. The applicant will comply with the comment in section 1.1.
Correct.
Thank you. And the applicant will also comply with 1.2, correct?
Correct. We're going to adjust our minimum up so that it meets the uniformity requirements.
Thank you. And we will also comply with 1.4, correct?
That is correct. We will set the light poles so that they're a minimum of 4 feet behind the curbs.
Thank you. And we will come back to 1.5 with a different expert. We're just going to touch on the memorandum from your geotechnical expert, M2. This is a memorandum that's dated July 6th, 2021, and the applicant will comply with this report, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you. Okay, next, we are headed to the environmental memorandum, which was received from Habitat by Design, dated July 6th, 2021. Mm-hmm. All right. And for the sake of keeping us organized off of the bat, the applicant will be complying with comments 4, 5, 6, 7, 9, and 10, correct, Mr. Domalewski?
That is correct.
Okay. Then comment number one is, again, asking about the amount of forested area, the Highlands forested area that's being impacted. I know you've gone over it before, but just.
Sure. 0.4 acres disturbed in our subject property, our development property, and 0.12 acres of that is the Highlands forested area.
And then the comment number two is regarding the environmental impact statement. I'm not sure that the author of this report received the updated environmental impact statement, but that has been reported on in the environmental impact statement.
That's correct.
Yeah, thank you. Then, so comment number three is with regard to the stormwater management basin. And it's reiterating comments from the Environmental Commission's memorandum from the preliminary site plan review. But my understanding is that you have coordinated with the board's engineer with regard to the stormwater basin that's being proposed, correct?
Correct. And we'll comply with any of his comments on that basin. Yep.
And then with regard to comment number eight, this report recommends that hydro seeding as well as straw be provided for the detention basin. Can you touch on those suggestions as well, please?
Yeah, we're acceptable to hydro seed the basin. However, we prefer not to use straw within the basin because it'll clog the basin outlets and potentially flood that basin more than it should be, preventing that grass from growing while it's trying to grow.
Thank you. Okay, next I'm headed to Yes.
Could I respond to those comments, please?
Sure.
Just curious on the on item three.
Mr. Keller, can I swear you in real quick?
Yes, you can.
Okay. Mr. Keller, do you swear that the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you very much.
On item three, I'm just curious, Mr. Domalewski, you've spoken with the township engineer. What conclusions did you reach with regard to my comments in number three?
So I did not speak to the engineer about your comments here, but I would defer to the engineer to review the basin and decide if, you know, what is appropriate to be done with that basin construction.
Well, with regard to lengthening the flow path?
I'm sorry, I heard multiple people there.
I'll jump in as chair. I'm not sure if our environmental consultant expert has asked a question. The answer shouldn't be we're relying on another expert to opine on that. I think he's owed, and we're owed, at least a response.
Absolutely. I would just say I agree with, if you're deferring to me, I would agree with the comment that you are providing a short circuit. So...
Okay.
Relocating the outlet structure to a further flow path would be beneficial for the design of the basin. So I agree with the comment as provided by the environmental report.
Yep. So we'll relocate the basin, or we'll relocate the entrance to move it further away to allow more time for that water to drop the suspended solids.
And with regard to the straw, I don't disagree that if it's in the basin bottom that it could wash and potentially clog the outlet. How do you propose to keep the seed in place on the slopes?
We could do a number of things. One thing is we could either put some sort of silt fence along the sidewall of the slopes and potentially do straw on the side slopes and down on the bottom.
Yeah, I would recommend that. I think if you shoot tackifier over top of the straw in a sufficient amount, it will hold the straw in place. My experience of doing very steep slopes with straw before erosion control blankets were generally available, was very positive with that regard. So,
okay, the, yeah, well,
another key thing is making sure that there's seed to soil contact for these native seed mixes.
Sure, we'll work with you to come up with a solution there to make sure that those sites seed adequately.
Very good, thank you.
No problem.
Just give me 1 second, I'm just making a note.
Sure.
Okay. I think next we were headed to the Environmental Committee report. Okay, so the Environmental Committee report, I'm just going to sort of go paragraph by paragraph, I think. This is a report that's dated July 2nd, 2021 from the Clinton Township Environmental Commission. So first, it indicates that the original environmental impact statement indicates that water is being provided by New Jersey American Water Company. Could you clarify that, please, Mr. Domaluski?
Yep, water is provided by Town of Clinton, and we'll provide an update as a condition of the approval.
Thank you. Then the next question is regarding the estimate for water supply needs and wastewater volumes. I know you already provided testimony on this, but just for the sake of making sure it's covered.
Yep, absolutely. Let me just go back to my notes here. The water demand is calculated at 15,815 gallons per day, and we have approval for water reservation of 16,073 gallons per day. And likewise with sewer, we have a demand calculated as 19,575 gallons per day with the allocation approved for 20,000 gallons per day.
Okay, thank you. Then there's a question about the geotechnical feasibility as well as methods for mitigating impacts. And my understanding is that the geotechnical report that was submitted to the board, as well as the M2 report, have recommendations for mitigating impacts, which the applicant is intends to comply with and implement, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Then next is a sort of follow-up question related to that, which is regarding potential changes to groundwater recharge and potential water pollution to the underlying aquifer. And again, those are concerns that are addressed in both the applicant's geotechnical report as well as the M2 report, and the applicant is implementing the recommendations in those reports, correct?
Correct.
The next question in here is regarding how new green infrastructure stormwater management requirements are to be implemented in connection with the proposed development.
Sure. So we had stormwater approval under the preliminary approval, and we meet the Highlands requirements. And the stormwater is also reviewed by the and approved by the township engineer. And we're not incorporating a lot of those green infrastructure elements because they create infiltration locations and will create risk to the underlying bedrock because it's carbonate rock that erodes with the exposure to water.
Thank you. Okay, so that is the Environmental Committee. And I think those are all of my questions for Mr. Domaluski, unless there are questions for him from the board or its professionals.
I don't know that I hear anything from the board.
Yeah, I have one. It's Bill Glazer, if I could. I'm looking at, well, I guess the exhibit's up on the screen now. In the, I'll call it the northwest sort of corner, there seems like a little cutout by the detention basin. I guess that's the outflow onto riprap from the detention basin?
That's correct. That's an outfall, and it needed to basically be, it's actually within our property. Our property actually bumps out there.
Right.
And that is the outfall of the basin, and it's needed there because of elevations.
And then it flows into the forested area off the site, I suppose.
Correct.
Okay.
And it meets the reductions, of each storm event.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
I'm not sure if it's Mr. Domaluski or it's the governing body, but I'm just trying to get my head, having sat in the mayor's chair and the council's chair, how does this street maintenance work, like snow plowing? I'm still just baffled by this. In other words, you know, when the first snow comes and it's 6 inches, where does the town plow and where do they stop and where does the this whole road thing still has me. Maybe I'm just not up to speed. If you guys could help me, I would appreciate that.
Sure, I'll take a swing at it, which is to say that the design of the road has been coordinated with the township. It will be memorialized via an agreement. This was the preference of the township to handle it this way rather than to have a bunch of easements going back and forth with regard to how the road would be maintained and who would be allowed to access what and all that sort of thing. The expectation is that once the road is constructed, it will be the township's responsibility to maintain up to that line, so just past the dividing islands. But then everything beyond that is the applicant's responsibility. So, for example, for snow plowing, the town would plow up to the line, and then the applicant would be responsible beyond the line as well as within the development.
Okay.
I mean, I guess the same would be for landscaping.
I just don't know. I mean, look, I've sat in the chair. I don't know what happens when the plow goes up. What do they do? Do they back up? Do they do a K-turn? Do they go around the island? Do they turn into, you know, just help me understand this, because I think it's –
I
can see it morphing into they go all the way up and they do the whole lot, you know?
Well, so I think that the idea would be that they would just go around the island and come back out again and go and continue on with the rest of the municipal roads. That being said, of course, you know, if the applicant's plow is there first, they're not going to wait for the town to come before they can access the site to plow. So I imagine that there'll be an agreement with respect to that as well.
All right. I just between that and the sign being sort of on, you know, town land, I just want to make sure that we've got that covered, because I know that's been an issue in other applications. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we have been in communication and we intend to memorialize exactly who's responsible for what via an agreement.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Ms. Coffey, this is the third Kate or Katie. I wanted to make sure for the record that the layout of responsibilities in the matrix for landscaping as well will be included in that, like where the line in the sand is between township requirements and maintenance.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will be. And I can say that our expectation right now is that the line in the sand will be the line that you see with respect to the subdivision line. At this point, the applicant will be installing all of the landscaping, but with regard to future maintenance, that will be the line in terms of demarking municipal responsibility versus the applicant's responsibility. And nice to have another Thank Kate you. As part of our group here.
Thank you, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a Kate, but I'll ask one more question if I can. If I understood the plans properly, I think the mailboxes are located on the south side of the community building.
Yeah, give me one second. I just want to take a look at the plan exactly. There's actually multiple locations of mailboxes around the site.
Oh, okay. Then that probably answers my question.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to get the site plan up and I can walk around. Yeah, they're there between buildings G and F. There's the mailbox enclosure there for people to access. Perfect. There's also mailboxes between buildings A and B,
mm-hmm.
and then there's one by the community building.
Oh, perfect. Thank you. Now it makes more sense to me.
Yep.
Okay.
And I think you mentioned the expectation of the applicant is that the residents of the community will not be accessing the open space going through the back of the development.
Correct.
That's correct. Yep.
I don't know if it's here now, but I was confused on the fencing. I thought I saw a notation about chain link fencing in some places. Or did I misread that?
Yes, there will be chain link fence along the retaining wall at the rear of the property there, where it was just highlighted on the plan. There's going to be the three rail fence is going to be on top of the detention basin wall.
Okay.
That goes around the tot lot and the roadway. Mm-hmm. And then the community garden fence is also going to be the three rail fence.
Okay.
As being highlighted right now.
Yep.
And then the remainder of the retaining walls along the outskirts of the property, if they're over 30 inches in height, they will also get a chain link fence if required.
Yeah.
But a lot of those walls are small enough that they will not need them.
And the purpose of that fencing is just to safety fencing, correct, Mr. Domalewski?
Correct. Anywhere it's over 30 inches in height, you have to have fall protection that's 42 inches or greater in height.
Are the fences on the bottom there, which I believe would be the east side, are those greater than that height?
The wall behind building G is not, so that short wall is not high enough. Actually, I think I'm going to be able to remove that wall completely. However, the wall to the north there, that longer wall, that will require fall protection. And again, I'm going to see if there's any way to minimize it and potentially reduce it or even eliminate that fence altogether. But I believe that one will need a fence there.
And a chain link fence is the only type of fence that's appropriate for fall protection?
Well, that's the fence we were proposing for fall protection. And also to note is that there is, between Route 31 and Building F, there is that tree line that's about... let me just see here. It's probably, I'd say, about 40 feet wide.
Yeah.
That's going to help screen the view there as well.
Yeah, I didn't know if this was yours, Mr. Domalewski, or the landscape architects, because we didn't talk to the fencing comments from the professionals yet.
Oh, sorry.
So I was sort of saving it, but I'm okay to, you know, let's, because I noticed it in several of the memos.
We will be touching on it with our landscape architect. You are assuming correctly, Mr. Chairman, and I will also add, and I think that our landscape architect is going to be talking about it in more detail. If it's the preference of the board, we are able to change that, the fencing that's shown in blue currently, which is the fencing in the bottom right-hand corner of the plan facing Route 31, could be changed to be a three-rail with mesh safety fencing rather than the chain link, if that's preferable.
Yeah, I without me commenting, I think, you know, our standards tend to not want chain link fences, which is what the professionals have called out, particularly as it relates to that tree line, you know, and the substance of it. You know, the more it's covered, the less there's a concern. But if there's a big visible chain link fence from the front, I'm not sure how well that complies. So I'll leave it for the landscape discussion, but I don't want to end it now.
Yeah, and I think we understand where you're coming from, and we're happy to accommodate that concern or address that concern. But again, our landscape architect will really get there. I shouldn't be the one.
And again, that's fine.
Yep.
Good.
Other questions for Mr. Domalewski? Mr. Chairman, before we move to our next witness, I don't know if it's the preference of the board to receive questions from the public now or to save them all for the end.
I'm happy to open it, but I didn't think we had anybody from the public. Denise, can you?
I have one question. Excuse me, Chairman.
Sorry, go ahead.
Certainly.
One quick question. Just in regards to solid waste, I mean, is the two dumpster locations, do we feel that's sufficient enough for the site?
Yes, I feel it's sufficient for garbage and solid removal from the site. Yep.
Okay.
And, the frequency will be determined by the developer. If they find it needs to be every so many days, they'll adjust their pickup to accommodate the residents.
Okay.
The applicant's using a private hauler, correct?
Yes, they're using private hauler.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody from the public? If not.
All right. Well, then, without further ado, I'm going to go to the landscape architect since we set the table for him. So, Mr. Tronco, you've already been sworn. I don't believe that you testified as part of our preliminary application. So if you could introduce yourself to the board and share your experience and credentials with them, please.
Sure. Thank you, Kate. Jason Tronco, Malillo, Bauer, and Carmen, a Bachelor of Science in Landscape Architecture from West Virginia University. I'm a New Jersey licensed landscape architect, a New Jersey professional planner by exam. Work experience, landscape architect with Malillo and Bauer since October 1998. Testified before many, many boards in New Jersey. Previously served as the township and board landscape architect in Stafford Township, New Jersey. Also represented Barnegat Township and Princeton Borough as the planning board landscape architect. And the plans prepared for landscape were prepared by our office under my direction.
Thank you. We'd ask that Mr. Tronco be accepted as an expert in landscape architecture, please.
Any concerns from anyone on the board? No, we accept. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Mr. Tronco, could you please provide us with an overview of the landscaping that's being proposed in connection with the development?
Sure. If we could go to exhibit number 2A2. So just to start on this sheet, this is the overall site plan showing Route 31. There's a tree line boulevard getting you to the site from Route 31. Shade trees lining that boulevard, ornamental trees in the center island, and then decorative ornate planting around the sign, which is at the entrance from Route 31. This shows the overall context of the site. If we could go to the next exhibit, A3. This takes you closer in on the development, the residential development with the storm water basin in the top right, community garden along the right of the page, some sitting areas, the community building with the amenity space, an open lawn, and the tot lot. So the site has been planted with native plant species. Diverse indigenous plantings include pollinator plants and plants that will provide habitat. Those native plants include shade trees, evergreens, ornamental trees, deciduous and evergreen shrubs, perennials, and ornamental grasses. Plants have been selected and specified and placed based on their solar aspect and also microclimate conditions. Just to touch on a couple of the sitting area amenity areas, to the north of the community building, there's a amenity area with lounge seating. Just to the north of that, there's an open lawn area, which is linked to the tot lot. The concept here is that patrons of the community can bring their kids to the tot lot. They have a sitting area there where they can watch their kids play. Play can spill out onto the lawn to the south. Around that tot lot on the east side is a fairly heavy hedge of planting, buffering the tot lot from the parking area. Smaller sitting nodes or gathering spaces are included between building A and B, and also between G and F. Those also will have tables and have a nice place for neighbors to gather and people to meet. Also associated with those areas are some mailbox mailbox kiosks. So there's that opportunity to check your mail. In addition, a community garden's been provided. That's provided on the north property there, keeping good solar aspect. So we have positive sun for the plants. There's a good number of plots there for the community. Also with a planting shed or a garden shed and a little area for tables. The fence around the community garden is currently the three rail fence with the wire mesh behind it. I think there was a comment that fence should be taller to keep deer from hopping in there. So we're going to explore that, trying to bring that fence a little higher so we can't have deer browsing. Pedestrian circulation is provided via the sidewalk network all around the site. Speaking to the buffer on the eastern side of the property, we have evergreen planting, ornamental trees, shade trees at the end to provide a buffer along the eastern property. In addition to the planting, there's existing vegetation just off site in the form of a hedgerow. Overall, the planting is an attractive mix of ornamental trees, deciduous evergreen shrubs, ornamental grasses. Tall fescue seed mix has been planted around the perimeter. This will help naturalize the edge of the property. It limits the use of fertilizers, and it helps to control non-indigenous species. The stormwater basin is planted with native shrubs and several native seed mixes. The seed mixes have been placed in accordance with their elevation within the basin. Plants that thrive with more soil moisture are located at the low points of the basin. And seed mixes that like periodic wet soil conditions are located higher up on the side slopes of the basin. A rain garden seed mix is provided outside the basin, which consists of native wildflowers and ornamental grasses. As you can see, the parking lots are lined with major shade trees as well, which helps to benefit the environment. The building foundations, or the planting directly adjacent to the buildings, have been planted with a mix of evergreen and deciduous shrubs, along with perennials and ground cover planting. So the project, if I jump back a little bit, I think that takes care of the landscaping. If I jump back to the sign located on Route 31, it's constructed with a masonry base of brick. It's going to match the architecture, has an attractive sign panel. Lara, if we could jump forward, I guess, to the exhibit showing a comparable sign that Pearl has constructed.
Hold on 1 second. My screen just froze. Half a second here. Ah, there we go. Getting it back.
While she's pulling it up, I'll just, for the record, it's going to be Exhibit A4, which we're calling the Entrance Signage Exhibit.
Thank you, Kate. Me to it. So it's an attractive sign panel with raised aluminum letters. These letters are backlit, what we call halo lighting. Halo lighting is really good for the sign because it enhances the visibility of the sign without adding any light spillage to the surrounding area. So we really feel this is a very attractive sign. Without being ground mounted lighting or any internal illumination. We don't have to do any of that with the halo lighting. Project sign will be landscaped with ornate plant material to make it a feature and really kind of ground it to the site. And I think that's pretty much an overview of the landscaping.
So, Mr. Tronco, my next stop for you is to get into the comments from the landscape planning memorandum that we haven't yet touched on, but I'll just pause here to see if there are any questions for you before we get into that. Not hearing
sure,
any.
Sorry.
All right.
Oh, sorry, Kate. The other yeah. Kate Johnson. I apologize if I wasn't on the board to review previous applications here in the history
That's all right.
of it, but are there two proposed signage locations, one at the entrance from the road and one at the entrance to the community, or just one?
Mr. Trago, can maybe point out where the sign is going just so that there's no confusion, if you don't mind.
Sure. If we could jump back to Exhibit A2.
There we go.
So it's set back from Route 31, right in the center island. I'm not finding my pen, but maybe someone else could mark it up for me.
So just for the, since we'll do it the old fashioned way that they teach you in law school. So in the center island where there's the five pink looking plantings.
Yes. So it's to the east of those plantings.
There's a little bar that appears sort of at the top of the island coming in from Route 31. Is that what we're talking about?
Correct.
Okay. And that's the only sign that's being proposed, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Does that help, Ms. Johnson, the other Kate?
Thank you. Thank Absolutely. You.
Okay. Other questions before we get into the landscaping memorandum further? Okay. I'm going back to the landscaping review memorandum. And again, this is the memorandum that we received from Bosenberg Landscaping Architecture, dated July 6, 2021. Mr. Tronco, the first point I wanted to touch on with you is comment B as in boy 2. And this sure. is a question with regard to what's happening with the proposed landscape plantings if they're not being irrigated and how that's going to work.
Sure. I'm sorry, I didn't mention most of the plant material will be drought tolerant plant material. We won't have any irrigation proposed on the site due to some of the rock, underlying rock. So what needs to happen is those plants really need to get established within the first 6 months to a year. So they'll be watered upon planting, kept watered in so they could establish good roots. And for the trees, we could add water bags to keep those trees watered until they also establish. But once established, the plants should be able to thrive with the selection of the drought tolerant material.
Thank you. Now I'm going to comment C as in coffee too. And the applicant will comply with this comment, correct?
Yes, we will.
Thank you.
So just to go a little further, I just want to say that the installation of the fence will be monitored if installed between May 15th and June 30th.
Thank you. Comments D1 and D2, the applicant will comply with, correct?
Sure. We spoke to the landscape architect, and he mentioned we could either relocate it to a more central location or add another one.
This is regarding the bike rack?
Yes, a bike rack. So we'll provide that amenity for the community building and the tot lot.
So Jason, you're adding a second one. Is that correct?
I think that's where we'll go.
And just so everyone's on the same page, we're complying with D2 as well, correct?
Yes. Definitely need water for the community garden. Probably two hose bibs, I think, would be sufficient per our conversation with the township landscape architect.
Thank you. Now I'm going down to D5A. We will be complying with this as well, correct?
Correct.
Thank you. Okay. Now, D8, and this is regarding the bench detail, and it's the bench detail on the landscape plans that will be implemented, correct?
Correct. We'll remove the other bench detail.
Thank you. All right, now I'm into D9, and the applicant will comply with this comment as well, correct?
Yep, correct the detail and then increase the extents of the tree protection fence per the comment.
Okay. Now I'm into comment E1, and this is regarding buffering between the development and Route 31. Can you talk about the buffer that's being provided, please?
Yeah, we have a what I would call a filtered buffer, with it being directly adjacent to an existing hedgerow, 450 feet away from Route 31. We feel this is an adequate buffer. In addition, the property to the east is going to be a rec area, a park. So we think the buffer that's established is an adequate buffer.
Thank you. Going to E2, and I'll do E2 and E3 together as the applicant will comply with both of those comments, correct?
Yes, those plans will be corrected.
Thank you. All right, comment E4 is requesting that the electrical transformers in front of buildings B, C, and G be completely screened. Can you address that, please?
Yeah, I think in speaking to the landscape architect, there's a couple that aren't screened with shrubs, so we'll be adding shrubs. I think it's appropriate to screen it from view from the pedestrian side of those boxes. So we're going to work that out with the landscape architect and screen as much as possible and as much as allowed by the electrical authority.
I was just going to say, just for the sake of the record, we do have to preserve some opening to permit access, correct?
Sure, but we'll screen where we can.
Okay. Comment E6, the applicant will comply, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Comment E7 is asking about the community garden fence. I think we already had testimony on that, but you want to just confirm since you're our fencing guy?
Yeah, sure. We'll provide a 6-foot fence there. The makeup of that fence will be determined yet, worked out with the landscape architect. I'm not sure if we could do a 3-rail fence at 6-foot. I really don't think we can. So it'll have to be a different type of fence, but we could always do vertical posts, some decorative horizontal members, but have the wire mesh at 6-foot height.
Perfect. And we'll coordinate with Mr. Bosenberg in the fence selection, correct?
I spoke to Jim, and we'll coordinate with his office.
Oh, thank you. Sorry about that, Mr. Mizuko. All right. Comment number 8. This is another one where we'll work with Mr. Mizuko regarding the plant selection, correct?
Yep. We'll use the Rutgers list and try to get very deer-tolerant material on site.
Same with E9. We will also coordinate with them, correct?
Sure. Yes, we will comply.
Okay. I think E10 and E11 are both comments that the applicant intends to comply with as well.
Yep. We'll add a note and revise some species.
Yeah, just before we jump past that one, just due to the light of tonight's discussions about the dedication of the roadway, we have seasonal plantings indicated at the end of that median. I'm wondering if we couldn't put something more permanent there, just because I don't think the town wants to be responsible for maintaining seasonal plantings there on an annual basis.
Perennial planting?
Yes. Definitely. Or shrub, or low shrubs, one or the other.
Mm-hmm. I think the applicant's happy to do that.
Okay.
If that's the preference. But now I lost my spot. Here. Okay.
E12.
I think we just did E11. We got through E11. All right, E12. This is another one where we will coordinate with Mr. Mizuko to comply, correct?
Correct.
E13, 14, and 15, the applicant will comply with, correct?
Yes, we'll add the fence. add the fence and add the fence.
Okay, so E16, this is regarding the pavement near the community building and play area patios.
Sure. If we could just circle those areas, all those areas will be the decorative concrete. So it's the area, what would be to the north of the community area, adjacent to the tot lot, and then the smaller gathering areas between the buildings that we previously mentioned.
Okay.
Can you just delineate where it is on the community building on the plan eventually, just so we know where, because I'm assuming that whole area in front of the community building is not going to be decorative, or is it? I wasn't sure based on the plans.
Well, there's a porch there, so right. Yeah, I think we'll better delineate the decorative concrete area.
Okay.
Okay. Then E17, this is inquiring about where the fence detail 6/L-R is located.
Yes, that's 6-L-4 probably.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
So that wasn't, we had the detail, we didn't show a call out, but that's with our revision now, we're going to almost use that fence everywhere. So that's going to be at the top of the retaining walls, adjacent to the basin. And that's it, because we'll change the community garden to a different type fence to get to the 6 foot.
And just to decode it for everybody, the detail 6/L-R is the 3-rail fence with the mesh, right?
Correct.
Yeah, just so we all are on the same page.
Ms. Coffey, if I could ask a question at the moment. Is the intent of the fence around the community garden deer, to keep the deer out?
Will we be changing the fence?
I'm asking what the intent of the fence is around the community garden. Is it for aesthetics or is it to keep the deer out?
Well, it was first for aesthetics with the comment from the landscape architect with the number of deer in the area, we need to keep the deer out.
Okay, just a suggestion. 6 foot is probably not high enough. There are commercially available deer fences. You might want to check out a website called deerbusters.com.
Sure.
They have a variety of different fences available, and one of their fences might be appropriate in that application.
So with the fence height, they don't really have a lot of run-up room, and they really don't like to jump into areas that they might get hurt in. So with the layout of the plot, the garden plots, it's my opinion that a 6-foot fence would suffice, because it's not the most desirable place to kind of jump into.
Okay.
It's narrow, there's things in the way. That's my opinion.
My experience says otherwise, but if a 6-foot fence is what you'd like to do, I would still take a look at the website I suggested, and there are probably others. They have fences of different heights and compositions that might meet both a practical need and an aesthetic one.
Thank you. Thank you for the lead.
Certainly.
Jason, can I ask a question, not to get hung up on the fencing? So the detail that I saw for the proposed rail and post fencing with the wire mesh, I was a little confused by. Is what's being proposed essentially the traditional rail and post backed by a mesh, or are the rails created with a mesh?
No, there's the wood rails. Right. So it's a rustic fence, but then you have the mesh behind it for the impediment.
Right. Okay. All right. That's what I thought. Thanks.
So hey, before we go off, remember down in front of building F, have we concluded we need a chain link fence there, or did we agree that, because we're not at this point talking about any more plantings on that hedgerow?
So Mr. Chairman, I think that the applicant sort of took the note and was willing to change that fencing to be the three rail with mesh fencing along that the area that's currently being shown in red in between building F and Route 31.
Okay. And one more question, as long as we're on fencing. Up by the tot lot there, is that just bushes, or is there a fence between that and the parking lot? That's bushes, right?
Yes, currently there is an offense.
Okay.
Okay. I think we are up to E18, which is asking about a guardrail. Mr. Tronco, there's actually not a guardrail proposed as part of the application, correct?
Yeah, that I don't think that applies.
Yeah, so we'll remove that detail.
Okay. But there was one. There was a label indicated on the back side of the community space that said guardrail to match architecture, I believe.
Okay, yeah, that's correct. So directly at the community building, we didn't feel that was appropriate for a three-rail fence with the mesh. So at the top of that retaining wall, we would do a decorative fence, a guardrail, similar to what the architect's going to show on the balcony treatments of the building. Black aluminum, typical decorative fence.
Can I just ask a quick question? When you're saying that when you're just talking about it right now, I mean, I know you're telling us right now, but it says it should be provided. Does that mean you're going to also provide it on the plan or like follow up? You know, I just want to make sure that when I'm ultimately doing a resolution, if that's where we end up, that I'm still writing comply, or you know that's where I'm going. You know what
yes,
I'm saying?
Yes. Okay. The plans will be revised to show
that.
Yeah,
that's where I'm right. I know that you're providing that information, but some of it, and I know some of it is addressed now, and I don't have to deal with it. But I'm assuming when you're telling us now, and then you're going to go forward, and ultimately the plans are going to be revised to show this information. And I just want to make sure that that's followed up with, that you're confirming that you're going to do that, when even though you're not saying that you're doing that.
We are doing that, and we will provide the detail as
I'm
part
assuming
of
that you're doing
compliance.
That, but I'm assuming that you're doing that, but I just want to make sure for my understanding that you're doing that. Okay,
correct.
Thank you.
All right. I think
Jason, sorry, Kate, final question.
Yep.
What is the height of the rail and post fence again that we're talking about?
The three rail,
yeah. What's the height of that fence?
Well, it'll have to be 42 inches for fall height. So, okay. If it's 42 or 48 based on availability of the three rail fences, it'll be 42 or 48.
Right. Thank you.
I believe the one on the sheet, Jason, is labeled as indicated 52 inches, 4'4".
Yeah. Let me check the manufacturers. I don't think that's correct, but I'll double check and make sure we have the right fence called out.
Okay, I think we're up to E19, and this is another one that we will be coordinating with the Bosenberg firm on in terms of compliance.
Yes, we will comply.
Thank you. And then E20 is with regard to the space between the parking area and the basin and making that more decorative.
So I think with the change to the three rail fence with the mesh, the landscape architect agrees that the ornamental native grasses in that area is sufficient. So
that's
we'll comply with the comment.
Thank you. And then E21 is asking for the colors of the proposed benches, tables, and trash receptacles.
Yes, it'll all be black to match the other amenities on site.
Thank you, Mr. Tronco. I think next we had one comment for you from the lighting report. Switch here. There we go. So it's comment 1.5 from the lighting report, which again was received from Mott McDonald. and is dated July 6, 2021. And this question is asking about the lighting for the signage, I believe.
Yes. So the sign isn't internally illuminated. It's letter backlit illuminated, halo letters. So the lights are located within the pin-mounted letters, shine back on the surface of the sign to illuminate around the letters. Again, exhibit, I forget what number shows that.
I think it was A4.
A4.
Four, great, it was in order. So you could see in the dark black area is the aluminum letter, and then the light kind of shines out around it.
Thank you. And just give me 1 second to get myself organized. I think that next, Mr. Tronco, we wanted to go to the planner's review memo. There were a couple of points in there we wanted you to touch on as well. And this is the memorandum from July 8th, 2021, received from Burgess Associates. With regard to comment 7, I think you've already touched on the screening between the development and Route 31. But if you want to just recap for us.
Yeah, we felt it was over 400 feet away from 31. We provided a good bit of planting there, and there's an existing hedgerow.
Thank you. And then comment number 9, with regard to lighting, the applicant will comply with the requirements included here, correct?
We will comply.
Thank you. Okay, comment number 11 is with regard to the situation of the northerly trash enclosure and the community garden. If you can just touch on the arrangement between them, please.
Sure. They're pretty close together, but the garden shed or the community garden is directly adjacent to the solid wall of the trash enclosure, and we don't see a conflict. For separation. There's one tree there that could be moved. The one in the front there, yep, it could be moved slightly to help the situation.
Thank you. And then the last question, since you're our fencing guy, was there's a question in number 15 about whether the tot lot ought to be fenced along the entirety of the perimeter.
Yeah, again, we're providing planting between the sidewalk and the tot lot. And then we really want that tot lot to be able to spill out into the open lawn, for the benefit of play. It just makes for a nicer play experience if, you know, children have that opportunity.
Thank you. Okay, that's it for my questions for Mr. Tronco. Mr. Trimmon, I don't know if you want to have him respond to any other questions the board may have or see if the public has any questions for him.
Can I just ask one? Back to the signs. I'm asking our professionals, Mr. Behrens and Larry, I mean, is this an internal sign? Does this sign complete? I understand the square footage, and we've agreed to that previously, but on the lighting side, are we comfortable that this is consistent with our guidelines? It just feels like it's a new type of sign. I keep hearing this halo, and we haven't seen these before.
Right. I'm reviewing that aspect.
And I don't want it to be so bright when you come down 31 and everyone says, well, you all said it was fine. I just need to, you know, look, signs and lighting and fencing are kind of the touch points in Clinton Township. So let's just, you know,
Well, while Mr. Behrens is reviewing, Mr. Tronco, why don't you just touch on, if you can, or the sort of setback of the sign from the road so we have a sense of the distance?
So the sign is set back 20 feet from the road. And I'll need to double check, but I'm sure the LED components of those halo lights can be adjusted to a certain extent. So in our experience, it doesn't give off an excessive amount of light, and it's a much more aesthetic solution than having ground-mounted light shine up on the sign.
Right. Oh, agreed. I just want to make sure it's not – it's just something new to us here. And it isn't the location or the size. We've already discussed this in the preliminary. It's the lighting side. And I see it in a few of the professionals' comments, so I'm kind of relying on them and everyone to say this is appropriate. That's all.
Well, and again, our lighting review memo does ask for information just to support and justify that it meets the requirements. So I still think if it does meet the requirements, I don't see why they can't provide something as a follow-up.
Yeah. And Mr. Tronco, I'm sorry.
I was going to say, in addition to the testimony, we are asking for some kind of information provided for the record to show that it meets the requirement. And if it's not your traditional backlit and the halo should comply with the requirements, then I don't see why we couldn't get something in writing as a document for the filer.
Sure.
And Mr. Tronco, you have confirmed that we comply with those requirements, correct?
Yes. It complies. It is not an internally illuminated sign.
Okay, so does anybody else on the board have any comments for the Mr. Tronco or this discussion?
Two, if I could. Just so on the side, I just want to make sure I understand. Basically, everything we agreed to in the preliminary approval basically carries forward, and now we try to refine the lighting aspect of it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, perfect. And then, I'm sorry to go back to the fence here. I just want to understand. We have chain link fence that I think on the south side and the west side. How high would that chain link fence be on either edge?
It's probably Greg.
I'm sorry?
So the thought is it may be a question for our engineer. Mr. Tronco, are you able to respond, or should we have Mr. Domalewski respond to that?
Again, it's a fall type fence, so the requirement is a 42-inch high fence. Whether they make a 42-inch high chain link fence, I'm not sure. They probably make a 48-inch high chain link fence. So we'll have to get those details tightened up. But my guess is 48-inch is a typical chain link fence.
Yeah, my understanding is that's correct, Mr. Tronco.
Thank you.
Anything else, Bill, Mr. Glazer?
No, I think that's all I have for this one. Thank you.
I don't believe there's anybody from the public, but I will make that offer.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Tronco, sorry. This is Kate Johnson again. I wanted to confirm, apologies if you've covered on this already, for emergency services purposes relative to lighting on the proposed site, are there any backup generators? Is that solar powered, the actual parking lot lighting? Just to confirm.
I don't think they're on it. I don't think they're on a generator. No.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. And I don't know that I hear anybody or that we have anybody from the public, but now speak now or. Okay.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, In that case, our next witness would be Jacqueline Camp, who's the project architect.
Thank you.
And Ms. Camp, I believe that you testified as part of our preliminary application, and you were accepted as an expert in architecture. Mr. Chairman, let me ask this first. Ms. Camp, is your license still in good standing since you were last before the board?
Yes, it is.
Thank you.
I see no reason to change anything. Go ahead.
Thank you. Okay, Ms. Camp, can you please refresh everybody on the architecture that's being proposed as part of the development?
Yes, I'd like to start with the exhibit that's on the screen now, A5, which is an architectural rendering. This is a view of Building A, and you're seeing the beginnings of Building B to the right of the view. To just to go back over the architectural layout, seven multifamily buildings. Total.
Sorry, so this is going to be A5. So it's, and I just can't read. Is there a title to this, or is this going to be a rendering of building A? I just want to know a title. That's all. I'm
sure.
Because I know there's going to be other buildings, so I just want to make sure I have it right.
Thanks, Ms. Reza. So the title of the typed on here is just rendering. And it is a rendering of which building, just for the record, Ms. Camp.
Building A is the foreground of this view.
Okay, so this is building A and this is A5?
Okay. Correct.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so we have seven multifamily buildings. There are 84 units. The breakdown is consistent with the UHAC Section 42 of the Internal Revenue Code. 16 one-bedroom units, 47 two-bedroom units, 21 three-bedroom units. The materials for the exterior cladding of the building are substantially the same as when we were before you previously. The biggest change is that we, instead of the brick base to the buildings, we are now using a cast stone veneer. We are using a lap siding material in a palette of colors that's consistent across the buildings. And we feel that those materials are consistent with the agricultural heritage of the community. The siding, as you're seeing in this elevation, the palette includes two blues and a cream color. On the, I guess we could go to the next view. We have provided additional elevations of buildings D and G. This is building D.
Hold on, Ms. Camp. One second. We're at exhibit A6, which is entitled Building D Elevations.
Thank you.
Yeah, right, keep going. Sorry to interrupt.
Okay. So the materials palette is the same across all of the buildings. There are four different colors used in the lap siding. So this building is showing all four of the colors, the two shades of blue, there's a charcoal gray, and there's a cream or a desert tan, I think is the manufacturer's name for the color. The colors are used across the length of the elevation to help emphasize the changes in plane that break down the scale of the building into more of the unit scale so that you're seeing the individual apartment units rather than a monolithic block. Those changes in plane occur on both sides of the building, and the changes in color and material also continue all the way around all seven of the buildings. The next exhibit is A7, and this is just to show basically our longest building. Building A is one of the shorter versions, so this kind of gives you the whole range of shortest.
And A7 is, I just can't read the letter.
Sure. It's building G elevation.
Thank you.
And we're just showing you the variety of building elevations and sizes just to emphasize that the treatment of the bays and the variety of colors and materials emphasizing those bays is consistent across all seven buildings and around all the sides of the buildings. We also have the community building, which is the next exhibit, A8.
Which is entitled Community Building Elevations.
Right. There is a slight, we seem to have a gray box on this elevation. I think that's just something happening on the screen. But just disregard the big gray box in the lower left-hand corner. Other than that, these elevations are consistent in materials with the rest of the buildings on the site. This building is unique in that it's a one-story building. It has a different program. It's a community building. And so, the main entrance is emphasized with the cast stone veneer. But instead of the variety of colors around the building, the difference in this building is called out with a single color of the lap siding material. And then just to go into a little bit of the program for the community building, and could we zoom in on the plan on this view? Thank you. The front entrance to the community building is where the steps are shown. There's also a route to access that front entrance coming up a handicapped accessible ramp on our accessible route. Coming into the building to the right is the open community room area for gatherings and community programs within the building. To the left as you come in is the management office and support spaces for the management office. And then in this view above the management office, there's also a social service office. And then straight ahead coming into the building is a fitness amenity space for the residents. And then the support spaces, the restrooms, the mechanical closets, the storage. And then in the upper left corner in this plan view is the maintenance office for the on-site maintenance staff, their workshop and storage areas. The community room has another doorway out onto a large patio. A portion of the patio right adjacent to the door is covered. But the patio, as you saw in the landscape plans, is actually larger than that covered area and overlooks the amenity lawn space and has a clear view from this patio of the play space and tot lot. I think that sums up the testimony that was requested.
So I think so, Ms. Camp. I did want to touch on some items from the architectural report with you, but why don't we just pause to make sure there's no questions from anybody before we get into that.
I have really two. Really, coloring the roof is black or gray or?
We typically use the gray architectural shingles.
Okay.
The color here, and it, you know, the colors are earth toned and range from darker to lighter. In this rendering, they're showing up as brown, but it's a textured appearance.
Okay, that was why I was asking. I wasn't sure if they were brown or gray, and I wasn't sure if it was just the coloring on the rendering. It's fine.
We tried to stay in that kind of neutral color range. When they get too dark, they do add to the cooling load on the building. So we try not to hamper the building that way.
Right. And then I don't know if this is your area, but I'll ask. There was mention earlier of two sheds, I guess a maintenance shed and a garden shed. How will they tie in architecturally the rest of us? They mentioned they're prefab, but will they look remarkably different, somewhat similar?
Well, the scale is pretty remarkably different. And they're prefab. There are small sheds with sloped roofs. I think that they'll be consistent with the shape of the buildings, the proportions of the buildings, in that they're tiny little accessory buildings.
Okay. As long as they're reminiscent is what I was worried about. I didn't want to be remarkably different.
Only in size.
I have a general question just on, I guess, practicality. I understand there's been some problems with supply chains and manufacturers, and the color palettes that typically would be offered, they may not be available. Do you find that to be a problem with some of the siding selections?
We do, but the colors that... The colors that you're seeing here tend to be in a range that, at least in my experience, stays pretty consistent. Larry, you look like you're wanting very much to say something.
Yeah, so we are having, you know, obviously supply chain issues across the board. However, what we found with siding is that as long as we give it enough lead time, we've been able to purchase the siding colors that we want. If for some reason that there was a problem and something came with an enormous lead time, we'd obviously come back to the town if something needed to be done. At this time, we've, in the communities we are building right now, we've been able to get all the colors that we've needed. But
yeah, I just want to say that because I mean, normally the resolutions are written, they have to be built in strict accordance with the exhibits provided. And if you don't, you basically come back for an amended site plan.
So I think maybe if that's how you're written for amended site line on things like this, we would ask that we have the ability, you know, should there be supply chain issues, to be able to come back to the board professionals, on this. I can tell you that, you know, across the board right now, supply chain is out of control. Again, with proper planning, we've been successful, but I can tell you that on one of our buildings, we have to put a temporary roof on because we can't get the right roofing that we need. So, it is a real problem today.
So I think that your suggestion, Ms. Schwager, if it's acceptable to the board, that to the extent either temporary fixes or substitutions are required with respect to sort of the aesthetic appearance, that we'd be able to coordinate those perhaps via the board engineer.
I wouldn't want to have that responsibility. I don't want to speak on the behalf of the board. I mean, the members see exhibits. That's what you see. They don't see the sewer pipe under the ground. They see the building color. And I don't want to be the one that has to get decide if a certain blue is what is close enough to an exhibit. So I don't, unless the chairman and the board want that, I defer to them, but I would be hesitant to allow that kind of, that much flexibility.
I'm sorry. I was just going to add that the municipal land use law typically takes the sort of aesthetic considerations out of the board's hand, as not being a basis of approval or denial for an application, which is why I was thinking if we have a trusted professional, whether it's you, Mr. Plevier, or somebody else who could be sort of the point person, that would likely allow us to move efficiently if necessary.
Larry, maybe we've done this, I think, before, even like a subcommittee, a couple of folks just from the board who would kind of, they could lock arms with you a little bit to say, yeah, this color is good enough, and then you've got some cover with the board. If you know
what I mean. Yeah, and I think, I mean, we did get a memo from an architect, I think Clark Kane Hintz, right, correct? They did the architectural review?
They did.
So, I mean, I would feel that there would be more of an expertise in the building. And if there was to be a subcommittee on color selection, I think they should be involved.
Yeah, I mean, if that's okay, I'm happy to ask for a less than quorum subcommittee of the board to help on this. So if there's any issues.
That would certainly be acceptable, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Yeah. I only bring this up because I know that there's been quite a change in the way we see color selections and supplies for building material.
I don't want to be on it because, you know, and I say the same thing. Everybody has a view of their preference. But can we get a couple of volunteers off of the board? I see Mr. Glazer's hand. I would nominate Mr. Scheich in absentia, maybe if we can, if he's an architect. But, you know, just a couple other folks.
I'll second that nomination.
Yeah. I was going to say, Mr. Chair, I think the applicant would also be comfortable if the subcommittee is formed at a later date. That would also be fine.
Perfect.
Hi, Mr. Schmidt, this is Kate. With the board, I'll volunteer as well.
Okay.
Well, if there's a Kate on board, then we're in good shape.
Yeah, so let's find a group that can help to make sure that, you know, this isn't an issue. Yep.
Thank you.
Can I just interrupt for just one second, please? I mean, anyone who is not speaking, there's a lot of background noise. Thank you.
Okay, unless there are additional questions, I'm going to turn to the memorandum received from Clark Kate and Hintz. I think we're good to go. So this is a memorandum that's dated July 6th, 2021. And Ms. Camp, you've already provided testimony With respect to A2, which is asking about the materials and colors and their conformity with the agricultural heritage in town, as well as A4, which is regarding the color selections that the applicant is proposing. I think that the question that we have for you to touch on is going to be A8, which is asking about the provision of solar array equipment and whether that's being provided, whether it's possible. If you could please touch on that.
Yeah, we were not planning on including solar as part of this project. And a big part of the reason that that's really impractical for an affordable rental project has to do with the way electricity use is metered. And since for each of these individual units, the electricity is individually metered and paid for by the resident, trying to put solar panels on the roof and then assign solar panels to a particular resident's electric meter or electric bill means getting involved in 84 separate inverters, which would be cost prohibitive. And just there isn't really a practical way, and it certainly isn't an affordable way to provide solar on a project that's individually metered for each tenant.
Kate, you're on mute.
Sorry, I'm just talking away. Thank you. I was saying, Ms. Camp, I believe those are all my questions for you. Of course, we're happy to answer any additional questions that the board or the public may have, or the board's professionals.
Anything from the professionals or the board?
I'll ask one question. I see the rendering or elevations that you have up, it's, pardon my squinting, building G, west and east elevation. Ms. Camp, is it your position that the front and rear of each building are treated similarly? And I ask because, I guess the concern would be the length of building that's closest to Route 31, even though it's set back a distance of 400 something feet, questioning whether or not that has a similar treatment to the front of the building as it can be observed by the public more readily. And will actually be closer to the park that's there too.
And what we were hoping to show with these elevations is that unlike many residential buildings, these are not one-sided buildings. They have entries from the parking lot. They have all of the articulation in the form of bays on the parking lot side, but the same articulation happens on the reverse side of the building. And because of the way the units stagger and stack within the buildings, we have ground floor flats for our accessible and visitable units, and second floor flats and stacked townhouses above for our upper units. And so we end up with balconies on both sides of the buildings facing in both directions. Both sides of the buildings are activated with entrances and patios. And again, the articulation of the bays and the color variation and variation of materials and textures used to break down that scale and give that articulation to both sides of the building. And that's consistent across all seven buildings, in spite of, wherever they're located on the site, we are treating them the same way.
Great. And just to be clear, the color palette is for all seven buildings, right?
Yes, it is.
Right. Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anybody from the public or the board or anybody? I'm not hearing any. Okay.
Okay. If it's acceptable, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to just sort of frame what we're asking you for, and all of our testimony at this point, I think we've submitted.
Yeah. Can I ask one question? And I know you may wrap it up, but we touched on it. the tree waiver. Is mm-hmm. there a way to help us understand how much waiver? And I know I'm not an expert, but there's got to be something like net caliber inches or something. In other words, I hear that there's 30 down and 150 up.
Mm-hmm. But in terms of the caliber calculation.
If you complied with the letter of the ordinance or the design, what would it be? And what's the gap here? And I'm just trying to help us all understand that it's a 90% miss or a 10% miss. And maybe that's your landscape person. I don't know, but I just feel like there's something there that would help me at least understand the magnitude of what you're asking for.
Kate, you're on mute.
You beat me to it.
Again, I'm sorry. So I was going to say, I think that probably Mr. Domaluski is the right person to give the figures. Mr. Domaluski, are you able to unmute, as I apparently am not, and give us that information?
I am here. I'm actually trying to run through my notes to find those numbers right now.
Greg, I had some figures if I could help.
All right, Mr. Tronco, there you go.
Yeah, jump right in, Jason.
Okay, so the calculation is a little tough, but we came up with 272 inches being removed. Times two is 544 inches required. And we have 303 inches planted.
So if I made it very simple, because I'm not, you're planting more than you're removing. You're just not planting 2x more per the design guidelines.
Yes. Right, in terms of tree thickness.
Yep. Okay, that helps me. I'm just
so the number right. So and I'm just so I understand. So the number is way more, but the inches is what you just stated in terms of less. Okay, that helps me. Thank you for asking that question, Mr. Chairman.
Yep.
And Mr.
Chairman, while I'm unmuted, just don't forget to open it to public comment before you close everything at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to give the public one more shot now before you summarize?
No, whenever they're done, whenever anybody's finished, while I'm unmuted, I wanted to remind you. So
why don't we give the public one more shot? Because I'm not sure there's a lot here, but we'll do it, Kate, for the sake of good order.
Yes, please.
Anybody else? Anybody? Public, non-public, member, non-member, chime in now. Okay, the floor is yours now, Kate. You can wrap it up.
Thank you very much. So I first of all, we truly appreciate everybody's time and attention and thoughtfulness this evening. Thank you. Just to recap what we're all here for, it's amended preliminary and final major site plan and subdivision approval that we're looking for. We are carrying over relief that was previously granted as part of the preliminary site plan application with regard to the size of the sign. It's going to be a total of 50 square feet, inclusive of the decorative base, where a size of 24 square feet is permitted. We're also carrying forward the de minimis exception from the residential site improvement standards to permit 153 parking spaces where 168 are required. Our new relief is with regard to a variance to permit the mulch tot lot surface to encroach within the setback 21.6. So it'll be 21.6. It will be set back 21.6 feet from the rear property line where 30 feet is required, and then a waiver from the tree removal ordinance requirements with respect to the caliper of trees that are being provided, although not the number of trees being provided as we just covered. And thank you all very much. We truly appreciate it.
Laura, do you want to unshare your screen so we can just see everybody? That might help also. if anyone.
And Kevin, you were trying to speak, but I think you were muted.
Yeah, no. So I was saying, okay, so based on that, and based on all the discussions and the agreement to, and I know Katie was taking some notes. I'm taking some notes. We have a recording. All the agreed and not agreed parts of the reports. Is there any discussion, any concerns, any questions, or is there a motion to adopt for the final? Let me look at it here.
Approve.
To approve amended preliminary and final site plan major approval.
And subdivision. Yep.
And with all of the, with those, you know, appropriate comments and revisions and agreements noted. Katie, help me out if that's a better, there's a better way to spin that.
No, that's fine. It's amended preliminary final site plan and subdivision, the variance, the one variance for the tot lot, the exception, and the two sets of relief along with the other relief, anything else that was should be carried over from the original grant of relief. And there was, and all the conditions that were discussed on the record and stipulated to by the applicant.
Thank you. So you made it sound better than I did. Thank you. Is there a motion?
Lazarus, I'll make the motion.
I'll second.
Thank you, Mr. Lazarus. Was that Mr. Glazer?
It was.
Thank you. Roll call.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Mr. Higgins?
He left.
Mr. Higgins recused. I'm on the wrong line. Ms. Johnson? Ms. Johnson?
Sorry, I was double muted. Yes.
Thank you. Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Scheich?
He's not here. Absent.
How about me?
Yes, I'm sorry. And Mr. Seme?
Yes.
Sorry, I'm getting a little tired. The motion carries.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. I know that was a long session. I appreciate all the professionals and the applicant's professionals and the applicant. And I'm glad we got it hammered out.
Thank you, thank everyone. We've been working with you guys for a long time, and we're excited to see this move forward.
Yep. Good luck.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Okay. So while some folks are leaving, those of us have to stay and do a little more business. We do have the vouchers. They were distributed. I've reviewed them, and I'm okay. However, if there's any questions from anybody, feel free to ask. If not, I will make a motion. Is there a second?
I will second it.
Thank you, Ms. Kleinhans. Roll call.
Mr. Glazer?
Yes.
Ms. Johnson?
Yes.
Ms. Kleinhans?
Yes.
Mr. Lazarus?
Yes.
Mr. Millay?
Yes.
And Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. So the only thing between us and bedtime is some reports. So with that preface, counsel?
I'll make it as long as I can. We've got a meeting coming up on Wednesday. It's the only meeting we'll have in July. It is the first meeting we will have in person since the beginning of the pandemic. And we have on the agenda a redevelopment resolution that will be of interest to this board, I'm sure, in the very near future for the Grey Rock site. It's a three lots that are on Grey Rock Road at the intersection of Center Street, south of Ben Eagles, I suppose, maybe west. They are already in the master plan as an area that is worthy of being considered for redevelopment. We'll have a potentially the promotion of an officer or lieutenant to police chief. And biggest news, I think, actually two things to note. For those who do know, Mr. Joe Borowski, he is going to be retiring from the DPW after 20 years. So Joe is, we will do a little proclamation for Joe on Wednesday.
He's a longstanding, yes.
And a resident. And I think he was a member of the first, or he's probably still of the rescue squad.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah, he's done a lot of good. The carpenter in the crew, so he's done a lot of really handy work for the township. And last but not least, roads. We're going to award a bid. Thanks to Larry, Mr. Flavier has helped us greatly with our bid for Grey Rock. Both Grey Rock projects came in well under budget. I think it was about $409,000 instead of $550,000. So we used the savings to do another road on the mill and pave schedule, so we'll also be milling and paving Hibbler, Stone Mill, and Cedar Grove this year. That's the plan. And that's it. I know we all want to go out the door.
Good. Ordinance subcommittee, anything to report of?
Mr. Lazarus, Mr. Higgins and I have been making progress on the what we're calling a site plan review committee. We'll have more to report back. We had a couple of meetings. We got some drafts floating around, so we'll come back with some ideas on that. Hopefully next month we'll see, or the next time, but I think the agenda's packed. We have a little bit more time, but it's something we want to pull through as soon as we can.
Yeah, we've just been looking at language from other communities. Reddington recently made a change that we think we might model ourselves after. Basically, the idea is to sort of make it a little easier on the applicants and take some of the the sort of the need and the expense of coming before the former planning board for things that can be waived at an earlier level.
We represent that them, so we can help you if you need we can help you get that if you need it.
Right.
Yep.
Right.
We haven't. We've got a little bit for Mr. Drill already out of Katie.
All right.
So thank you.
I figured
much.
You did. I figured you did, but just in case, you know. I don't know what country he's in, so you never know.
We figured he'd like his own language too.
Right. Right, that's true.
Hey, it's Angela from Reddington. Yeah, we adopted that site plan waiver in Reddington, and we just used it for the first time. And it was to allow a church to add pervious surface paver patio to the rear for their congregants to be able to sit outside.
Right.
You know, so that was the first time we've used it, and it worked very well.
Good.
Good.
I have to say, it's you know, it's meaningful for the community.
Right. Sure.
Great. I guess I'm environmental, and despite the blogs out there, we are not trying to put chargers at every open space place that exists. So they are doing some work on what do you want to call them? The signs or the stations at Windy, a couple other things, but nothing worth keeping us awake later on. So. All right. Anything else from anybody? I appreciate everyone's time and effort on this one. I know it was a little later, but this was an important, we got a lot of resolutions done, but more importantly, that affordable housing project. So I thank you all. And with that, I'm looking for somebody to make a motion here.
To adjourn.
Okay.
I see Mr. Lazar. I see Mr. Glazer and R. Kate, is there anyone abstain or disagree? All right. Thank you all.
So next meeting is the 26th still? Are we think we're on for this month or not?
Denise?
I think you are, right?
I think we're on for the
26th. We are definitely on for the 26th. We have another affordable housing application.
Okay, so I thought.
Be in person, I think, right?
Yes, that one will be in person.
And look, if anybody's got any concerns, you know, reach out to me or Denise. But, you know, if we can make it back and try to do some in person, that would be nice.
Yes.
Yeah, the Board of Adjustment is having their first in-person meeting next week.
Perfect.
Well, if they can do it, we can do it. All right. Good night,
right.
Everybody.
Good night, all. Thank you.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, guys.
Thank you.